Over to you, please.
Thank you, Chair. I was expecting a time reduction, but thank you, Your Excellencies, esteemed guests. I'd like to share some insights from Chad and a project that the International Rescue Committee has been undertaking in partnership with UNHCR and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Chad, as you know, faces long-term development challenges, acute economic concerns, and an ongoing crisis of displacement. It's a quintessential nexus challenge of the sort highlighted by the Secretary General. As in many contexts in which refugees find themselves, an already under-resourced health system was unable to address basic health issues of the local population. Meeting the needs of refugees on top of that has significantly overstretched the system. UNHCR and its partners must therefore fill the gaps to provide life-saving care. This is the reality in many humanitarian fragile settings, and it requires the global community to think differently and apply new strategies to ensure quality care reaches those who need it most. We need to work on long-term solutions, but in the meantime, we need to save lives today as effectively and cost-efficiently as possible. So since January of this year, the IOC has been implementing the Saving Mothers and Newborn Lives project in Chad in 5 refugee camps. This builds off an engagement across 10 camps over the last 3 years. So we have we were already rooted in the community and in the context, working with facilities there. But it's clear that there's an insufficient level of resources to meet the needs, the high level of needs that we're seeing in the camps. And recognizing this reality, we need to adapt our approaches in order to deliver high quality services to reach more people at a lower cost. It is, as I'm sure many of you know, a tired cliche, and at the same time a present and recurring reality in so many humanitarian settings, that we need to do more with less. Necessity is, as they say, the mother of invention. And this project provides a case study for some of the strategies that we use to do just that. So I just want to highlight four aspects, four quick summaries, if you like, of the choices that we made. I mean, the first one is really around making choices and investing in low-cost, high-impact interventions. These interventions, as we've heard already, may include kangaroo mother care to reduce the risk of death by hypothermia, or the use of newborn resuscitation masks to reduce the risk of death by asphyxia. We don't need expensive hardware like incubators to save the majority of the lives at stake, but it is about making choices. The second point I'd like to highlight is the importance of investing in community-based care. It's really difficult, again, as we've heard, to ensure continuous facility-based care in humanitarian contexts. Community-based care is easy to administer by community health workers, which increases access, it's more affordable and more sustainable over time. It can strengthen links to the formal health system. It doesn't replace it, but it's really about reaching out further into the community than we would otherwise do. This is similar to strategies that we've used to treat common childhood illnesses in other contexts, and more recently, acute malnutrition. In this project, community health workers were trained to recognize danger signs during pregnancy, provide postnatal care for newborns at home, and appropriate referrals to health facilities. The third point is really about investing in the quality of care from skilled workers so that you can scale up proven interventions. So having made your choices, having invested into the community, it's really important to place an emphasis on low dosage, high frequency, on the job continuous training so that we get a continuous quality of care. We know, again, as we've heard from previous presentations, we know what the primary causes of death are, and we can train for that, we can prepare for that. Again, it's about making choices. As a consequence of doing that, we heard during interviews, with staff and their supervisors, they said for the first time they understood how they could drive this work themselves and felt proud of their ability to continue delivering quality care to the refugee community. I mean, this approach isn't without its challenges. Sustainability remains a concern, right? You can't have low dosage, high frequency training without continuing to invest in that. So it does require resources to sustain over time. It's not a one-shot, easy silver bullet, but nevertheless, being lower cost, it is easier to sustain with ongoing investment. And finally, the fourth lesson that we draw from this is that by building these islands of excellence, delivering quality of care that mothers and children need, by doing so in a way that's relatively contextually adapted and simple, it makes it a hell of a lot easier for this to be sustained and replicated and taken up into the national system, rather than creating something that is perfect and standalone, but really has no chance of existing beyond the lifetime of our intervention and support. Looking to the future and just thinking about what lessons we can draw from this, I would just really want to highlight a point that has been highlighted in many other contexts, but I think is extremely relevant here. We need donors to dismantle this increasingly obsolete distinction between humanitarian and development financing. We need multi-year funding that is actually going to invest in interventions that build appropriate systems that support self-reliance of the displaced and host communities in the medium to longer term. Let me leave it there. Thank you.